Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Big news of the day are the stories about Mike Shanahan possibly being the coach. Torrey Rank will catch us up on that. But I think it's only fair, Al, to reflect back on the game on Saturday and look at the actual loss to the Browns. Al, just as a big picture, what are your thoughts about Saturday's game?
From a big picture, it just shows you that we don't have the talent necessary to win in the NFL. And I think you can just pretty much leave it at that. And in particular, when the game's on the line and you have a quarterback and you have a minute 40 and all you need to do is get it in field goal position, certainly those are the things that you work on. I saw in a similar situation, almost exactly, well, maybe a little less time, Deshaun Watson had that same moment against the New York Jets. And he found a way to get it into the end zone. So to say that we needed to get it in a field goal position almost seems like it's a minute a conversation, because that should be easy. So Case Keenum, the reason going into this game that I did not like the Broncos to win the game is because Case Keenum is really working with this group of wide receivers for the first time, whereas Baker Mayfield has really been working with his young receivers and his veteran receivers and Jarvis Landry the entire training camp. So I just felt like they were going to be in better tune, and I knew for a fact that we would throw the football over because our quarterback is not an anticipatory thrower of the football. He is a guy who waits to see if guys are open.
So overall, your take on the game is?
My overall take on the game is that we're not a very talented football team.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's okay. I mean, we just don't have enough talent. I thought one person who I just love, I love the effort, man. Garrett Bowles, man, played a beautiful football game last weekend, and I am very happy with his effort. I think that he has been playing a good brand of football for around 4 or 5 games. Now, he gave up a sack, I think, a couple weeks ago, but it was not his fault because he expects the quarterback to be in one place, and he wasn't. But I think Garrett Bowles has been playing at a much better pace. Connor McGovern cannot be our center going forward. That's clear that we are not strong there. And our guards right now are playing a solid brand of football. We didn't have the right kind of plays to call against the Cleveland Browns because they were jetting up the field, and we didn't have a way to use that against them. And you would think that we can neutralize anybody when we know the snap count at home. We did not against the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. There was an embarrassing moment at the end of the game, too. I don't know if you caught it on TV, because the game was on NFL Network. So TD was on set, and they have the NFL Network set on the field, and they're going to interview the star of the game, whoever that might be. Well, you know, as the game turned out, it was Baker Mayfield. And it was just a moment that I'd never thought I'd ever see, because here is the NFL Network set. Set up at Mile High, there's Baker Mayfield and maybe 2,000 Browns fans dominating our stadium. And I just was like, wow,
Great story for you. Great story for you.
All right.
Leaving out Friday to get down here to come see my mom, when I got to the airport Friday night, you should have saw how many Browns fans were in that stadium. I'm in the airport Friday night. It was incredible. I thought maybe the Steelers were here or something. All these people and dog pound and Cleveland Brown gear. I was like, what in the world is going on? And I realized These people are excited. They are hyped about what they're about to see. And I think we were dreading it, actually, around here in Denver, at least the people who were paying close attention to the Browns. We were dreading the fact that we had to play them, a surging team versus one that is fading. So I saw that on Friday night, DMAC, and it just kind of blew my mind. I'd never seen Cleveland travel like that before. I mean, it's the way that we travel. So, yeah, that was surprising.
Yep, they made their presence felt, and they get it. They get it. So two teams passing in the night, going in two significantly, it feels like, different directions. There is a bit of breaking news going on right now, and this has to do with the ownership situation. There's a ping pong match right now in the Bill Bolen lawsuit that is advocating for the trust to be disbanded. The initial lawsuit was filed. Then there was a reply from Dan Riley representing the trust. After that, there was another response from Bill Bolen. The last thing to happen is a final response from the trust. This is just the nature of things. This isn't anything extraordinary. This is just how this stuff goes. Today, the Pat Bolen Trust filed a motion, this is according to Mike Kliss, for an extension to reply in support of stay to Bill Bolen lawsuit and response to Bill Bolen's motion on payment of fiduciary compensation and attorney fees, whatever all that means. So they had 10 days to respond, the trust did, to the latest filing from Bill Bolen's side. And within this 10-day window, they've asked for an extension. And we don't know if the judge is going to allow that or not. So this thing kind of plows forward. But we've always had the sense that the trust would want to, Alfred, just, you know, push this off as long as humanly possible, right? So this should come as no surprise that I don't think this is a delay tactic necessarily. It's just kind of lawyer stuff. But we don't know if they're going to be granted that time, nor do we know how long that time would theoretically be. Whew, a lot going on, Alfred. A lot going on. And for the latest in all of it, we'll check in with Troy Rank next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Get Troy Rank on. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by the Trenny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Trenny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. On that note, just to kind of cover all of our bases here today, Chad Kelly was in Arapahoe County Court today, and his arraignment was continued to January 28th. I understand that they're trying to work out some sort of settlement deal, and it's a little bit contingent on whether the NFL will, how the NFL will punish Chad Kelly. And they're trying to get that sorted out. Troy, there's that. Then we have the news story that's just coming out this afternoon that the lawyers for the trust are trying to push back when they have to file their latest motion. So they're trying to make that, you know, go back a little bit. And on top of all that, we've got these stories about the Mike Shanahan deal and whether or not Kirk Cousins was going to be here with Mike Shanahan. So it's not without a lot of news here, Troy. So
never boring, that's for sure.
That's for sure. What insight have you obtained on any or all these issues over the course of the past few hours?
Well, let's go to the coaching issue that's more pertinent to what happens on the field. Last season, that Sunday, the last day of a year ago, Shanahan had gone to Ellis about the idea of, Elway went to Ellis about the idea of bringing back Mike Shanahan. And then Ellis gave him, according to my multiple sources, a couple options. You know, he wasn't opposed to him firing Vance Joseph necessarily, but he said, if you do want to hire a coach, you need to do a search. I was told Shanahan could be interviewed. That could be part of it, but he wasn't going to rubber stamp, you know, it's just Shanahan, and then we move forward. You know, man, there's a lot of issues here. I won't get into all of them, but there is the reality. Much as I covered Mike Shanahan, I covered when Alford played. He's won one playoff game in 14 years, and it, you know, didn't end particularly well here. So that's one issue. Vance Joseph being asked about it today was, you know, the height of awkwardness. You know, what was it like, Coach, hearing this about Shanahan? And, oh, by the way, do you think you're going to get fired now? I mean, that's kind of where they are, and I think he knows he's, you know, he's dead man walking because of these last two losses. Regarding Chad Kelly, for me, it's a non-story because he's not coming back here. I wish him well, and hopefully he does settle it. And I can't imagine, though, he won't get some type of suspension from the NFL. He will get something because of the violation of the personal conduct policy. Regarding the lawsuit with the trust basically asking for an extension, none of this is uncommon. I mean, these are lawyer games. They do this. We all think it happens easily. Sometimes it's through the logistics. Sometimes it's just part of the game. We're going to make you want your life difficult. We're going to make yours. We're going to push back. We're going to see if we can get a judge. So these things get a little complicated, and, you know, the ones who benefit most from usually are lawyers.
You know, when you consider these, all of the facts that surround the Denver Bronco ownership, and you hear about this story of John Elway approaching Joe Ellis about the hiring of the new football coach, Coach Shanahan, the old football coach, I start to begin to wonder, who's in charge of that decision? Is it Joe Ellis or is it John Elway?
John Elway makes football decisions, but he can't make that decision without discussing it with Joe Ellis. So, again, it was described to me as, you know, hey, they were considering making a decision after 1 year of removing Vance Joseph. Then the last day of the season.
When you say they, who is they?
Well, John is. John's considering removing Joseph. He goes to Ellis and says, I'm considering firing Joseph and bringing back Mike Shanahan. And Ellis at that point tells him, you know, he won't oppose him firing Joseph. He would prefer there's continuity, but he says if it's going to be Shanahan, there needs to be an exhaustive coaching search. That Ellis saying, I'm not just going to rubber stamp that move, that we've kind of been down that road. And he didn't say he couldn't be interviewed, but he said that there needs to be a search. It can't just be Joseph out, Shanahan in. And at that point, John Elway slept on it and decided to keep Joseph and get him a quarterback, and it hasn't worked out. They're 6-8. So his future is unlikely to remain in Denver, and you can argue that Case Keenum, we're not sure he stays, other than maybe as a placeholder next season.
Do you believe if John really did want Mike, had he just simply moved forward in that process, that could have happened?
It's interesting, you know, if he pushed for it and said, no, this is the guy we have to have, he's the fix, where would that have stood? Would Joe Ellis have said, absolutely not? Or would he have said, based on 10 interviews and you think he's the best man for this job, okay, I'll give you the, then it's your decision. It's a football decision. That's a little murky, DMAC. That's an interest. I believe they think if there an exhaustive search would be done, they would conclude that Mike Shanahan probably isn't the best choice since he already worked here for, 14 years. Mm-hmm. So it's probably better to get a new, fresh set of eyes. But that's an interesting decision. If he had said, this is the only guy I want, and I want this to happen, what would have happened then? I don't know the answer to that. That's an interesting question.
You know, once again, I'm left with trying to figure out what's a football decision and what's a business decision.
Well,
you gave me a long answer, but I don't know what's a football decision and what's a business decision.
Well, if you're going to fire guys, it involves the business model of who's going. You've got to pay off a coach. We got to hire a new coach, and you got to hire how many new staffers, Alfred? 20? 18? So you can't do that. That's what I'm saying. If it was just you're replacing Vance Joseph with a new coach and all the staff staying, that's a pretty easy decision to make. If it's we're going to blow out 22 coaches, strength coaches, and that's why Joe Ellis, he's the CEO. I mean, you can't do that decision without him. But Elway can say, this is what I want done, and typically – you know, Ellis has just said, hey, I need to know the framework of this. Here's what we have. Okay, go get it done. But in the case of Shanahan, he basically said, hey, I hear what you're saying. I think you need to take a step back and make a search before we just rubber stamp that, because that would involve a lot of complications, bringing him back based on how it ended. And also there is the issue of How many new coaches? How many new everything? And so I think Joe Ellis wanted him to pause, Alfred. But to answer your question, it's a football decision to hire the coach, but how you replace 20, 25 bodies, that becomes part of a business decision.
Why not fire Vance Joseph yesterday or today if you're going to just fire him in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think part of it, DMAC, is there's no obvious guy to take over for 2 weeks. There's really no one on staff with a lot of experience that makes sense. I mean, is he going to be your special teams coach again like they did with DeCamillis when Kubiak was sick? There's no obvious, you know, Wade Phillips sitting there saying, okay, Wade, you've done it, take over for 2 weeks. That's part of it. You know, part of it is they've competed, and, you know, this year's been a disappointment. We know that. But they've competed, and given the 2 weeks, because this idea you can't begin a coaching search until the other coach is gone, I mean, we all know that's fallacy. Everything gets done through back channels. I just went through this with the CU issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's official and not official, it becomes semantics. You think they're going to wait until the day a decision's made, but, oh, now let's begin our coaching search. All this stuff happens for weeks in advance through back channels.
How do you think? How do you think VJ handled today, which was obviously difficult?
I think he's been professional throughout. I mean, and I know fans don't want to hear that, but that's a difficult situation. If someone's asking you, you should have lost your job last year, and they were going to bring back the legend. How did that feel?
Right.
And oh, should you be fired now?
Right.
I mean, that's not an easy question to take. And he's taken the high road every time. Hey, it's not about me. It's about our team. It's about playing hard. But he knows too. At this point, when they got to 6-6, you can't lose to the Niners and Browns. I mean, that's just pro sports. But I think he's handled himself well, given the circumstances that he's placed himself in with the record. But I think he's handled himself with class.
You know, I've been trying to wrap my thoughts around this little bit of issue that I'm having trying to evaluate this team. We played against Mullins, we lost. We played against Baker Mayfield, we lost. We played against Sam Darnold, we lost. Those are three rookies that we lost to with the guy who's in, is this his 10th year? This is Case Keenum's 10th year?
Right, that's that, correct.
Let me ask you this. If this is what Case Keenum looks like going against these rookies this year, when those guys are in their second year next year, you know they're going to be better, but Case Keenum's already in year 10. Why in the world would the Denver Broncos bring back Case Keenum when he can't beat the rookies head-to-head?
Well, you've identified two issues. One, games the Broncos should have won for whatever reason they play down to the competition. Jets, Browns, and Niners. And their biggest wins are against premier opponents, Chargers, Steelers. You know, they played their best games in a loss at home against the Chiefs. But you're right.
And the Texans.
A game, you know, clearly within a field goal of winning. But your issue's fair, Alfred, in that Case Keenum, if you look at the AFC West right now, you could argue he's the fourth best quarterback. Because Derek Carr's played better of late. I think he's got 8 touchdowns in the last 4 games, no picks. Well, it's hard to win the division if you have the fourth best quarterback. That's number one. Secondly, when you can't beat younger players, as you mentioned, typically they get a little better. And where would you come back with Case? Bring him back into an open competition type thing where you draft a young guy and eventually that guy either beats him out in training camp or early in the season and he's just protection until you have a solution, or you just completely move on, bring in a different placeholder as a clear backup, and go draft a young guy. But until they figure out that position, and D-Max talked about this more than anyone, until they figure out that position, it's hard to move forward. You can't have the fourth best quarterback in your division and walk into each year going, yeah, we're fine. We're going to get it done. It's just very difficult to win your division if you're not good at that position.
All right, we'll look for you on Denver 7. Thank you, Troy Rank. When we come back, would the Broncos be better off with Kirk Cousins if Mike Shanahan was here? And we'll hear from VJ from today and what was a tough day. A tough day for the coach. You'll hear it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan Dmac.
It's never easy when you know you're a coach on the hot seat, and who could predict a story that comes out that one of the greatest coaches in the history of the franchise was a candidate to replace you. Here was how VJ handled questions like that today. DJ.
I spoke to John. That's a private conversation, obviously. But, Nikki, to be honest, that's the least of my worries, our article. It's been worse things written about me, I'm assuming. But that's not my concern. You know, my concern is the football team, these coaches. And, you know, we have a big game on Monday night. That's my only concern. You know, what's written, what's being said, I can't worry about that. That's nonsense to me, it is. It really is.
It's easy to say that, and he emphasized it's about the coaches and his players.
I don't, you know, and again, it's about my coaches and my players. You know, we have a great staff. It would be tough for me to find a better staff in this league. Okay, I mean, these coaches have coached a really, really young team, and we've got young guys playing at a high level, okay, because of our coaches and our players each week they've battled, so... That's my only focus and concern, not my future. You know, my ultimate focus is really Oakland Raiders, you know, on next Monday night. So that's where my head is right now.
DJ, do you think management has your back?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Absolutely I do.
Al, what do you think?
Well, I think that when you start the conversation off with I had a conversation with John. It's a private conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like to me it bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he wouldn't have said that, then I would have said, okay, no big deal. But as soon as you say that I had a conversation with John Elway, well, then immediately you go, why? Why'd you have a conversation with John about it?
Well, what do you think?
Well, because it bothers you. You know, to get this stuff out there and not have the organization back down one way or the other and kind of reaffirm that that's what happened, but there was a deeper process to it. It makes John look like he is, he's not supporting you. And we kind of got that feel from last year when he said he had to sleep on it.
Had to think about something, right? Had to be something to think about. Now we know.
Maybe the real deal here is, I just want to keep it 100 with you, okay?
Please do.
Okay. So this is how a lot of deals get done in the NFL. Okay, you have your guy in mind. And no matter what anybody says about this process, you have your guy in mind. If Vance Joseph would have been fired, the Rooney Rule would have been used in a way that it's not supposed to be used. Okay? You know, I'm just telling you, thinking of it as the process and the way it's supposed to go. Like, you are supposed to interview people who are creditworthy and possibility to become the head football coach of your organization. That's the bottom line of how this is supposed to work. So if that's the way that Joe Ellis was looking at it, I applaud him. I really applaud him for having to go through the entire process again. I do applaud him for that. But the way that these jobs are given in the NFL usually suggests that I have a guy, but I have to go through this silly process, but I'm getting my guy. So once again, if that's the way it happened, then I really applaud Joe Ellis for trying to abide by the letter of the law in the NFL on its hiring policies and practices. But in the end, Mike Shanahan being here with Kirk Cousins, if that would have been the final suggestion and the final answer, I would have been happy with that. But I am so glad that Joe Ellis and the Broncos had to go through a process, because I do believe that you may end up finding a superstar in that process that probably wouldn't been given a chance if it wasn't for the Rooney Rule. So I'm just kidding. That's where I start with the process. Now, if you want to say that we ended up going through an exhaustive process and we ended up with Mike Shanahan that led to Kirk Cousins, then certainly as a Denver Bronco fan, I am happiest with that, because I know that we have a coach that has been there and done that with a quarterback who is a premier quarterback in this league. Now, you know, would I have been happy with Kirk Cousins to the Denver Broncos without Mike Shanahan? Absolutely. But if it comes down to Kirk Cousins and Mike Shanahan versus Vance Joseph and Case Keenum, you know what I'm picking? I'm picking Mike Shanahan and Kirk Cousins. That's the best mix. We know enough now about Case Keenum to know that there was a reason he wasn't named the starter in Minnesota last year. I gave it hope, man. I was optimistic about it. But after viewing his games and the way that he plays a position, clearly Kirk Cousins represents an upgrade. We're talking about a team yesterday that put up, 40-plus points, and we saw Dalvin Cook, get off to a roaring start when his new offensive coordinator. That team is dangerous. That team could win the Super Bowl if they make it to the playoffs. So, yes, that's what I would prefer.
Hey, Clarence K is calling in, Al. Clarence, hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. This is Clarence K. I'm just calling in to talk to Big Al for a second.
There he is.
My main man. Clarence, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing all right. I've been listening to you for a while, and I've been hesitant to call you, though. I ain't going to lie.
Talk to me.
Hey, because some of the things that I've heard on the radio and the sports talk, area, some of it makes sense, but when it comes down at the end of the day for me, I look at my experience that I had in the NFL for 9 years, playing with John Elway, seeing Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, and all those guys. There's something about to be said when you're talking about John Elway being the GM. John Elway, he knows what he wants, but I don't think he knows. He don't want to pull that trigger. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I mean, like
in what respect? At the quarterback position or head coach?
Yes,
which one?
At the quarterback position. Exactly, the quarterback position, because the 9 years I played with John Elway, he was the best quarterback that I ever played with in my life. And he should be able to find a quarterback that has those characteristics, those characters that it takes to become a great quarterback if they have them already. You just have to develop them, I mean, Kate, like you said, I would take Kirk Cousins and Mike Shanahan. I would take that combination in a minute. Absolutely. Because Mike Shanahan, he does know a little bit. He knows about the game, but he also knows John Elway real well, too. That would be a perfect fit. It really would for me, looking at both of them guys and having played with Elway and being coached by Mike Shanahan, they would make a great combination from my perspective.
Well, and we're just up on a break,
Clarence.
So we appreciate Clarence you calling in. Sorry, we got to take a break. I think most fans, Al, would be all about it. So I'll just throw this as we go into a break. If it made sense, if it was a good idea, then why didn't John push harder for it? We'll talk about it next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Okay, Al.
That sounds so good.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. Let's pop it. Let's get it in this dancery. I feel you, Big Sexy. I feel you, baby. All right, man. On Monday.
You and I could come in last place again in King's Super Fan Football Pick'em.
I stink this year, man.
I really stink. What is wrong with you here?
I don't know, man. I got the Bronco game right, and I said that I should just do the right thing as far as the fan football pick'em and just...
Zach and Stoke are going to win again.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really ridiculous.
This is like the Broncos season this year. Our pick'em is just wildly unsuccessful.
I tried to get Mike Shanahan to do the picks with me last year. And I got overruled. But you can play Pick'em and win $250 from King's Supers, grand prize groceries for a year. Just register at 1043thefan.com. What a game last night, huh? Holy cow.
There were great games all last weekend, actually. There were some good ones.
Did you see the Eagles with Nick Foles beating the Rams at home?
Yeah.
You saw that?
That was a good one. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, of course. But, okay. I mean, when you see... When you see teams like the Atlanta Falcons and I don't know if you saw Tevin Coleman yesterday.
I did not know.
He was off the chain. He had like 11. He averaged like 12 yards a rush yesterday. You know, that was big time. But, you know, we got a good one tonight with the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints.
We do. Make your picks at 1043thefan.com. Let's go to Seth. And at the top of the hour, we'll recap everything that went on today, which was a ton of stuff. Hi, Seth. You're on the Fan.
Hey, fellas. So with 1 yard left in a game at which the Broncos were averaging 3.9 yards per play, I don't think the blame is entirely Vance Joseph. I think it's the mediocrity, if not the futility, of Bill Musgrave's offense.
It was yesterday, and I'm not gonna lie. The thing that I'm able to do that is pretty unique, I think, in this situation is tell you the truth about what I'm seeing. And I'm telling you yesterday, or should I say Saturday, the offense was anemic at best. I mean, it was not pretty. It was not good. It felt like, once again, Case Keenum, on some of the blitzes, there were no quick reads to actually dump the football off, or the receivers didn't look. They didn't know it was a hot route because of coverage or a situation. And it looked like Case Keenum was, back there stuck with the football waiting for a long route to develop that never did. And those things should never happen in this league, because you should understand and know. On one of the blitzes on Jabril Peppers sack to end the game, we had a line slide going left. There was a full line slide, but the defensive nose guard disappeared. And the guard didn't snap back immediately to look for anybody else that was coming around. Now, his slide rules tell him that he has to go hard. But at some point, you got to say, well, what else is going on around me? And he didn't look. And Peppers hit. He got two sacks. By the way, Peppers got two sacks in that game against Case Keenum. But our offensive plan, man, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Against the Jets, our offensive plan stunk it up, okay? It was nasty. I didn't like it at all. This last game, I didn't like that game plan at all either. So, yeah, you could take those game plans and just throw them out the window. I didn't like them. Whatever reasoning that you drew up, those plays against those defenses and that personnel. And a lot of this, when you're calling plays, has to do with my personnel versus their personnel. You may have a great play called, but if you don't have a great block, you don't have a great receiver, you don't have a great quarterback, it's not going to work. So only give them things that will work. So last week, I did not like the game plan against that woeful team that we just played. The Browns are a young team getting better every week, and their confidence is growing. We have a 10-year guy starting against a first-year guy. We're supposed to win that game if we have the right 10-year guy. I don't believe we have the right 10-year guy. Therefore, I can't tell you whether or not this coaching staff is the greatest, like VJ said, or is it just sometimes they're on and sometimes they're off? I can't tell.
Okay. So how do you feel about Musgrave then?
I don't know. I think that, you know, I think I've seen in the 14 games that we've played, I've seen maybe 10 great game plans, maybe 11 great game plans, and 10 or 11 great game plans, and three that were like, no. Like, you didn't understand your team versus that team. So that happens. And then in those situations, you look for great players to bail you out. Well, Phillip Lindsay has bailed us out a lot, and then Case Keenum hasn't bailed us out at all. So When was the last time Case Keenum bailed us out of a bad situation, a bad game?
Chargers win. We were down. It led them to a game-winning field goal.
Okay. All right. So
I guess
there you go. So you got the Charger game.
Well, that was a pretty amazing thing. They had no timeouts a minute to go.
That was good.
Passes down to Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland
Sutton.
That
was good.
And, you know.
That was good. I will give you that. But it's not a whole heavy list, a heavy diary. Put them in position to win against the Houston Texans, although I would have liked for them to be a little closer.
Yeah.
But you know, these games down here, end up being fourth quarter games where you have the last possession or you have to stop them, get the ball back for a last possession. So it ends up being in the NFL where there are really no blowouts. That's why we say when you lose by 10 in the NFL, well, you got you're blown out that day. That day that you lost by 10 points in the NFL was not a good day for your offense, defense, and special teams. It's usually when we see these games and these gambling lines, it's a 3-point, 4-point, 5.5. It's a, you know, 6 is a top end. You never see game plans where it goes over, you know, 7 or 8 points because usually that doesn't happen in this league. It comes down to the fourth quarter, and in all actuality, it comes down to your last drive on offense, your last drive on defense, whether or not you win games. We're just not that good when we get in those situations.
Hey,
lot of close losses because we can't make those plays in the end.
I got something for you, you know, because the season's over now, right? And you know.
Well, the season's done.
Right.
The season was done when we lost to the 49ers,
so,
bro.
So, based on everything you said... well, yeah, but there was like a 12% chance.
I told you.
I'll
sugarcoat it, man. You can sugarcoat it. Go ahead.
No. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. We're on the same page. I'm just saying right now it's like officially. Like there's nothing left to play for here, right? I mean, aside from you got to play the games out. So I asked this question.
Will Kevin Hogan get an opportunity to play?
If you didn't hear that, will Kevin Hogan get an opportunity to play?
If Case misses snaps, he would. But not if Case is healthy, he won't. Case is the quarterback.
Why?
Because of the 70 tours.
Yeah, I mean, what? It makes
D-Mac,
no
D-Mac.
Sense.
Hey, listen, man, the 70 tours run this right now.
I guess.
If we don't get to 8-8, the 70 tours are going to go nuts.
It doesn't make any sense. Why?
Packers,
you know what
Rogers
I do?
Said,
hey, let me tell you what
Aaron
I do.
Aaron Rodgers says, wait a minute, listen. Aaron Rodgers said that he wants to continue to play these last two games. There's still a lot that people are coming to see.
Wrong.
You know what I tell Aaron Rodgers?
Wrong.
You are out of your mind.
Wrong.
If I just signed you to this,
wrong.
This huge deal. And we are out of it.
You're done. You're on the bench.
Maybe you get one series. Maybe you get a series to say that you started this game or something. Maybe you get two series and then you put the other guy in because you ain't playing.
Why in God's green earth?
I got way too much invested in you.
We have put money into Case Keenum. It's a wrap. Yeah, it's done. There's nothing else.
$1 year, $25 million, D-Mac. That's what it was.
I mean, to me, I'd put Case Keenum on the bench. I'd activate Garrett Grayson. And I'd play the young guys. Because what's the worst thing that could happen? You lose? So what? I mean, this to me is the most preposterous mindset. You had your chance. You had 15 weeks. You had OTAs and mini camps and training camp out. You had preseason games. You had 15 weeks. And it didn't work out. Yeah, this is... It's absurdity. And it blows me away that coaches... I don't know. I mean, again, and I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, too. If I'm Joe Ellis and John Elway, I'm walking down there and saying, no, you're not going to play Case Keenum who we got all this money. We're lucky he wasn't hurt already.
You can't do that.
You can, and you should.
You can, but you can't do that. You know why? This is his team while he is coaching.
Then why? Let me give you this.
So if you want that to happen,
yeah.
Fire the head coach.
Sure.
And then he'll play the next best guy.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, if
you're going to fire VJ anyway, like, and everybody, I mean everybody thinks he'll be dismissed at the end of the year. Everybody.
You know what? Let me tell you the perfect scenario.
Can you tell me after the break? Or you want to just say it right now? Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll tell you after the break.
All right. Here's Mark Schlereth, the quick break, and we'll get back to the perfect scenario from Alfred.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Woody Page put the story out there in the Gazette. Elway and Mike Shanahan came together last offseason, had a principal deal, an agreement. The contract wasn't signed. The contract wasn't done up, but they had a principal agreement for Mike Shanahan to come back and coach this team. And whatever Joe Ellis's, you know, reasons were, and there's probably plenty of reasons that Joe didn't want to do that, just from a look, from an organizational standpoint, hire a coach for 1 year, not give him a true opportunity. But why not now, Mike? If you had the deal in place last year, then what's different this year? Especially if you've given your coach 2 years and you've decided he's not the right guy going forward to operate this team. If, in all likelihood, you're probably going to go back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 1972, I think you have probable cause. Why not now? And Mike Shanahan would be an adult. He'd be in charge. You know he's got the pedigree. You know he's done it before. And most importantly, Mike Shanahan, if he did come back to coach your Denver Broncos, you know what he'd have? Authority. He'd be given the authority to run this football team. He would be empowered because he would demand it. And the players would understand that he is the ultimate authority and that he has got the ability, the autonomy to make the decisions that need to be made. And to me, something this football team desperately needs. So my hand is up. I'm in. I'd love to see Shanahan, if they do in fact go that direction and get rid of their coach, I'd love to see him be the guy to get his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.